The internet has had a profound impact on the rate of student plagiarism. Studies prove it. From high school to graduate school, the impulse to copy and paste a sentence here, a paragraph there, even a page, has only grown over the last decade. Even top government officials are at it.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
Maybe so, 1988 Joe Biden, except you did apologize and acknowledge plagiarism back then. I guess things turned out okay for him. But this week, our partner, The New York Times, discovered that John Walsh, the junior senator from Montana and a decorated Iraq War veteran, plagiarized a big part of his master's thesis, a paper required to receive his advanced degree from the U.S. Army War College. That was back in 2007. Well, while the college plans to do a big investigation, the truth is that some of our most esteemed writers have confessed to plagiarism in the past, and many of them have maintained illustrious careers since those accusations. It's not necessarily a career record. Physics professor Lewis Bloomfield has encountered many plagiarized papers in his tenure at the University of Virginia, and he says in the age of the internet, plagiarizing is just all the more tempting.
There's so much stuff that just seems to be out there as though no one ever wrote it. It's just available. And it's a big temptation for students who are looking more for degrees than for an education.
What are your thoughts when you read about a prominent person, not a well-known senator, but a senator nonetheless, Senator John Walsh from Montana, and you see prominent people who are in the public eye get caught? Is it different than when a hapless undergrad gets caught?
I don't think it's very different. I think it's just a sad story all around.
Now, there's a lot of evidence in some studies to show that a lot of this is being, you know, driven by the internet, and that's not hard to see why. It's easy to post papers online. There are services that let you, that help you anyway, plagiarize, and it's just easy to download and very tempting. But I've always wondered, Professor, you know, if it's so easy to plagiarize because of the internet, it's got to be just as easy to catch people because, you know, you could enter in what they've written and let the internet do the searching for you and see how much of it's original. And I guess I'm not the first person to think of this.
That's right. It's a big arms race, really. It's easy to copy stuff. In fact, it appears on your computer as though it were yours, right? And so you just cut and paste if you're subject to that temptation. But on the other hand, you can use computers to find the same stuff. So it goes back and forth. In fact, I wrote software a long time ago to find plagiarism in my students' work. And it's been downloaded now maybe a million times, and I'm sure that some of those downloads are by people who are trying to make sure that they won't get caught rather than trying to find their own misbehavior.
Well, take us back to the year 2000, to your class. What happened and what led you to write a program to help you catch cheaters?
Well, I'd been teaching a very large introductory physics class for a long time at that point, and I'd been receiving term papers for several years by way of the internet, so I had electronic versions, copies of these papers in my collection. And a student came to me very upset that two of her friends had gotten higher grades than she had on papers they had not written, that they had recycled from previous semesters. That was news to me. It was pretty upsetting, but she wouldn't tell me their names. Finding the people who had done it was impossible. It's a needle in a haystack problem. So I wrote quickly, slapped together a program to try to find pairs of papers that shared similarities, and ran it over a weekend. And lo and behold, it didn't just find her two friends. It found a whole lot of recycling of papers. And it was a sad, disappointing experience. But okay, I went through it all. And 2 years later, about 50 students had left the University of Virginia, either admitting guilt or being found guilty at an honor trial or ultimately having their degrees revoked in a couple of cases.
So we've talked a little bit about the internet, Professor Bloomfield, and of course it's easy to see why the internet expands a crime of opportunity because there's just more stuff out there, so easy to download and appropriate. But what about sort of the quality diminution effect? Do you suspect that, sorry to sound old, but the online culture has led to poorer writing that, in addition to a crime of opportunity, might, increase the desire to get some decent writing down on paper?
I think the internet really has injured education in many respects. The problem that it's created for me in particular, and for many people like me, is that it's easier now to sort of assemble a paper out of pre-digested materials that you can find on the internet. So rather than spending 90% of your time thinking and 10% writing the paper, well, now it's reversed. Now you spend about 90% of your time finding great references on the web and 10% assembling a paper out of them. And the extent to which you sort of rethink the pre-digested material is where the education comes in. But really, the whole exercise isn't very valuable anymore. I've often joked to my students that if I just had a paper shredder up there at the front of the room when they turned in papers, 95% of the educational experience would already have been accomplished as they fed their paper into the shredder. It's not the reading or the grade that matters. It's the doing.
You know, I want to ask you about consequences, Professor Bloomfield. We just heard a clip from Joe Biden, who admitted to plagiarism at an earlier point in his career when he was a senator, plagiarism when he was younger. It didn't hurt his career at all. Look, the guy never became president, but he's done pretty well. Do you think students perceive consequences? Have they seen enough examples of people's careers ruined by this type of behavior?
I think that the very small number of people who get caught plagiarizing is hardly discouraging to the people who plagiarize. I think, first of all, plagiarism is sort of a crime of opportunity and often not planned well in advance. It's done for expedience, just trying to get the degree or even just to get the grade for the current paper. So they're not planning ahead. And they certainly don't look off into the future at the long-term consequences. And they probably don't even identify themselves so much as plagiarists. They kind of feel like, well, you know, the material's kind of out there. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's a victimless crime. So why be worried about it? And another thing about plagiarism is that it's really lives only in the world of the academy and things related to the academy, like scholarly books. Outside of the academy, plagiarism isn't really discouraged. It might even be okay. Business is full of plagiarism, people taking things that they didn't write themselves and presenting them as though they did. And even politics, look at politics. Lincoln wrote his own Gettysburg Address, or so we know, but most politicians don't write their own material, and they present it as though it were their own thoughts and are quite willing to take credit for having said it. So I don't know, plagiarism is kind of a grayscale problem in this world. Context matters, and Some plagiarism no one really cares about.
Professor Lewis Bloomfield, professor of physics at the University of Virginia. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Todd.